ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان، ومن يتبع خطوات الشيطان فإنه يأمر بالفحشاء والمنكر. صدق الله العظيم. وعن علي بن أبي طالب رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال له: يا علي، ثلاث لا تؤخرها: الصلاة إذا آنت، والجنازة إذا حضرت، والأيم إذا وجدت لها كفأة. وكما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. الحمد لله with the فضل كرم and إحسان of Allah سبحانه وتعالى, we find ourselves on this Mubarak day of Jumu'ah. And when we look around us, when we assess our own lives and we look around us, then we see the manifestation of the words of our beloved Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, بَدَأَ الْإِسْلَامُ غَرِيبًا وَسَيَعُودُ كَمَا بَدَأَ. Islam started off as a very strange concept, very strange thing. And it will return also to being something very strange. In other words, in the early days of Islam, when Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam began calling people to Tawheed, believing in one Allah, and people found this very, very strange, that this Allah you're calling us to, we can't see Him, we can't touch Him, we can't feel Him. But later on, when people brought Iman, then it was no more strange to believe in one Allah. And up to today, those who have brought Iman, they don't find this concept strange. When it comes to Salah, even Abu Talib, the uncle of Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he saw Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu performing Salah, so he asked Ali radiallahu anhu, what you all doing? He said, no, we are reading Namaz. He said, see, whatever Abul Qasim, meaning whatever Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells you to do, you must listen, obey him, stay with him, listen to him. But as for me, I can't put my face higher than my back. My back higher than my face. Then my face, now that's the most honorable part of the body. Now I must put my face on the ground and have my back raised. Doesn't make logical sense to me, in other words. So they found even Salah to be something strange. Zakat was something strange. So much so that after Huzur-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, then so many people, they refused to pay Zakat also. To give sadaqat, to give khairat to poor people, the kuffar were saying, why must we spend money on people whom if Allah wanted to give them, Allah would have given them. So many aspects of deen were regarded as very, very strange. And after that it became so commonplace. Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum, tabi'een, tabu'u tabi'een, all they accepted every hukam of Allah ta'ala, every sunnat of Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. However, Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that Islam will return to being a strange thing. Again, all the concepts, the ahkam, the sunnats, the shariat, it will all become a strange thing again. If we have to look into our lives, so maybe on the level of our aqaid. So we don't consider it to be strange to believe in one Allah Ta'ala. In practice, we do something else. We say we believe in one Allah, but in practice, it seems like we believe in many other things. But our aqeedah, we don't find it strange to believe in one Allah. We don't find it strange to bring iman in all the anbiya alayhimus salatu was salam. We don't find it strange to believe in the malaika. We don't find it strange to believe in life after death. These were concepts that the kuffar in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they couldn't accept. Especially life after death, that we will be resurrected, they couldn't accept it. So alhamdulillah, when it comes to those things which is the core, without aqeedah, a person got nothing. If his belief system is corrupted, he got nothing. You can have all the a'mal in place, but if the aqeedah is wrong, a person got nothing. So, by and large, the ummah, to a large extent, maybe those concepts are still not regarded as strange. We believe in it. But when we come a little lower, then many concepts, even to us as Muslims, we are regarding as strange. And whenever things are brought up, or things are pointed out, then we foolishly say, those are small things, man. Those are small things. So when we start overlooking and bypassing what we term as the small things, then slowly, slowly it will come to the bigger things and the bigger things and the bigger things. And Allah forbid that it reaches a stage where it comes even to our aqeedah. Right? We take this one hadith sharif. I want to show you practically, in practice, how we consider concepts of deen to be strange. We take this one hadith sharif. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu an, he narrates that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told me this. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Oh Ali, do not delay three things. Do not delay three things. The first thing, as-salatu idha anat. Namaz, when the time of namaz comes, don't delay. We're not talking about missing. When the time of salah comes, don't delay your namaz. As soon as it is the time for salah, drop tools, go and read your namaz. Bhai, what would you say? You know all the stats. How many percentage of the ummah is not even reading namaz? Forget delaying the namaz. What percentage of the ummah doesn't read namaz today? At all. Maybe only making it for Jumu'ah. What percentage of the ummah is living like that? And it's become normal. It's become normal. In a home, if the father, the big son, the big daughter, the mother, they're all sleeping through Fajr, nobody is waking up. It's normal, nobody even bats an eyelid, nobody even asks at breakfast time that, kya hua, we overslept today. It's like a norm in that house that we don't wake up for Fajr. Right? And if somebody is particular on namaz, then that has become strange. If that fellow one thing is namaz again. For one thing, whether it's winter, summer, he goes for his fajr. So to miss namaz, for men not to go to the masjid to read salah with jamaat, for salah to become qada, to postpone a namaz because I'm a lawyer, I've got a case to fight, or I'm a doctor, I got an operation to carry out, or I'm a Mauli Sahib, but now I've got some other work to do, it's become normal. I'm busy in the shop, so now, Asr, now we can't make it now in the winter months now, it becomes qaza, we read it after Maghrib. It's become normal. And a person who is a namazi, that's become strange. Hey, man, one thing, five-time namazi. That's become strange. Whereas, in the time of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, to be a namazi was the norm. If a person was not there for salah, that was strange. Like Umar radiallahu anhu, one day he noticed Fajr time, one young man is not there. So it's a strange thing. A person is not there for namaz, like here in the madrasa. You must make lakh shukr. I must make lakh shukr. Allah Ta'ala in this zamana of fitna, in this zamana when from all sides our iman is being attacked, Allah Ta'ala takes us and puts us into an environment where in our little small world, we can say that alhamdulillah we got 100% Muslims. Which community can make that claim today? In our small little world, we can say, no, alhamdulillah, hey, we got our 100% Muslim. Is that not an accomplishment? If you go through your youth, you don't become Hafiz Sahib, you don't become Maulvi Sahib, Mufti Sahib, Sheikhul Hadith Sahib. We want you to become all that. Whatever titles I'm giving you, inshallah, all of you are going to get that. But what I'm saying is, if you don't get any of that, but you just went through your youth, and you stayed in this environment, are you not liable for a spot in the shade of the Arsh of Allah? Because you spent your youth in the ibadat, in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala. That's one of the categories of people who will be in the shade of the Arsh of Allah on the day of Qiyamah. So, that's the first thing about salah. The second thing, and I mentioned this last week also in the Jummah, wherever I was, that when the janaza is present, Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that don't delay. Wal janazatu idha hadarat, when the janaza is present there, now don't delay. In other words, the person passed away, now quickly as possible, give the ghusl, kafan, read the janaza namaz and bury the person. Now, I asked the same question last week in the Jummah, that if a person now, a little elder person, maybe he's living in Johannesburg, right? Or he's living in, let's bring him a little bit closer, he's living in Harrismith, right? And his brother lives in Durban, and the brother passed away. The brother in Durban passed away. So the nephew phones the brother there in Harrismith. And he says that, uncle, see, Papa has passed away. Right? Don't worry about leaving. Don't worry about leaving. Because Papa passed away now. We are already started giving him ghusl. The ghusl and the kafan should be done in the next half an hour, 45 minutes. And immediately after that, we're going to be reading janaza namaz and we're going to be burying him. So even if you leave right now, right, and you try to make it, you won't make it. So don't take the trouble to rush and all that. After that, if you want to come to make taziyat, no problem. But don't worry about rushing to make it for the janaza, because within the next hour or two, janaza namaz is going to take place. Now that will be considered odd. That uncle is most probably going to take so much of offense. That look at these youngsters today, what respect they got. They never kept my heart. They didn't think, that's my brother. Then allow me to see him also before they buried him. I'll never forgive them. That's the kind of things you will hear. Although that poor brother in Durban must have been phoning this fellow for the last 6 months. Boy, I'm not feeling well. Come visit me. The fellow must have been telling him, I'm very busy in the shop. I'll try and get some time. You know, no time today. While he was alive, and when he came to visit him, maybe it would have given him some happiness. Now after he passed away, now he wants that the janaza must be delayed. Now if a family has to delay the janaza, and say, no, man, the son is in Cape Town, and the daughter, she's in Dubai, we're waiting for her to get her flight, and the son must get his flight, and the other one is in Honolulu, and we're waiting for him to come, right? Now the talk in that family, lucky they made it, man. They made it. They're on Israel, we got to wait for them, must show them the face too, Show them the face when they come, at least, the heart's at ease. Now, which practice is the correct one, which is the incorrect one? Which one we comfortable with, which one we uncomfortable with? So has this is become strange or not? To practice on what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, has it become strange or not? Isn't it become strange? The third thing, Huzuri Akdas sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, that wal ayyim iza wajadta laha kuf'a. An unmarried girl now. You found a compatible partner for her. In other words, a match is made. A match is now made between a boy and a girl. A match is made. Then don't delay the nikah. Make the nikah same time. Right? Now, this too, in today's zamana, if, for example, yesterday you met the man, he didn't know anything about his getting married. Yesterday you met him, and he didn't know anything about his getting married. Right? In the evening, he goes to see a girl, and he proposes. Now everything is prepaid. The girl finished pre-make her istikhara. Or she's positive and she gives her jawab. So they say, no, alright, tomorrow Jumma time we'll perform the nikah. Everybody is happy, yeah? Match is made. Some of you are getting hopes. You just relax. Finish your hips and all that first. Then, so anyway, but if it has to happen like this, then now the person, he went last night, he saw the girl and he's happy, she's happy, families are happy. They said, tomorrow, Bismillah, let's make the nikah. Tomorrow when the nikah is taking place, kya hua? What happened? Why are they rushed it like this? There's something, dal mein kuch kala hai. Something must be happened. They were doing some masti. That's why they rushed the nikah like this. Whereas, if somebody says, my daughter got proposal, when is the nikah? No, we're having an engagement first, and then we'll decide the engagement. So after the engagement, now when is the nikah? No, we decided, it's already now August, in December one time, man. Everybody will be a little bit free and all that. So December one time we'll make the nikah. Yeah, no, very nice. That is understandable to us. But what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said? I'm just giving you one namuna, one example. Right? From one hadith sharif. That how the things what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged us, that do it like this, we're finding it strange. And the manner in which we're doing it, which is not in sync with the advices of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the recommendations of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the manner in which we're doing it is opposing that, but we are quite comfortable with that. So has those concepts of Islam not become strange to us? Now if we're going to leave it, He is going to leave all these things and don't rectify them, don't speak about them, don't put them right. Then tomorrow, bigger things. You see, like, before, there was no question of a Muslim going to a church, because the church is having an open day. So we're taking our Muslim children, mothers, daughters, or fathers, sons, or whatever, to go to the church for an open day. It was unheard of. You wouldn't even cross the mind. But that's become the new norm. It's become the new norm. Right? It was unheard of that kuffar are called to the masjid for open day. Now it's become a new norm. Initially, one, two people may have done it with a good niyat. But the elder ulama, they could see beyond. And they warned against this thing. But when our elders talk, we think, no, they narrow. They narrow-minded. Now what was the spin-off for shaitan? Is that, okay, we came to your masjid now for open day. So now you come to our church now for open day. Now we respected your masjid. So when you come to the church too, you must show respect. So are you going to go and respect the cross there now? Are you going to go and respect the crucifixion there? What you going to go and respect? Shirk. So, slowly but surely, we see this happening in our lives. Like, here in the madrasa, bifadlillahi ta'ala, now everybody would eat on the floor. And you don't regard it strange. It's a sunnah, everybody eats down, no problem. But if you go home, and if you are living in a home where they eat table and chair, and if you have to ask them, that, no, can we sit on the floor? Now it's like a strange thing, like, no, sit on the floor, no? Where you came out with this story from? Whereas that is the sunnah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never sat on table and chair to eat. The sunnah is to sit down on the floor and eat. But that's become a strange thing. In Muslim homes, forget the non-Muslims. In Muslim homes, everything that is then brought up, by people are dying in Gaza, man. What you worried about? All the Maulvis only worry about all the small things. Small. People are dying in Gaza. You have to have big conferences. You need think tanks to sort out those problems. And then we think like we're doing major things for Islam. But slowly, we're breaking the bricks. The real things, we are breaking the bricks. Slowly, this building we are destroying. With our own hands, we are destroying. Slowly. One thing, we're taking it out. The Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَسَيَعُودُ كَمَا بَدَأَ. It will return like that. And in the end, what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَطُوبَى لِلْغُرَبَى. So glad tidings to the strangers. You see that person who is sitting on the floor and eating, and people say, in this century now, what's he up to? That person who he is wearing his topi, wearing his kurta, keeping his beard in front of the whole community, he looks like, odd, this fellow. He looks odd. This man, one thing, is a namazi. Like as if to say, being a namazi is something unique. So that person become like a stranger in the community. He's a namazi. Right? But till today, they still say it in a good way. He's a namazi. Allah keep it like that. So you rather be from those strangers. Fatuba lil ghuraba. Glad tidings to the strangers. So we must not worry about what the mainstream is doing. We must worry about what Allah Ta'ala and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wants us to do. And even if in the eyes of the world, we stick out like a sore thumb, no problem. Long as in the eyes of Allah Ta'ala, we are twinkling like a shining star. That's all we need. Understand? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give me tawfiq, give you tawfiq, grant the entire ummah tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.